Thank you for tuning in to our online sermons. I'm Pastor Brandon Walters, and I pray this message will bless and encourage you today.
Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 John. The book of 2 John. And this will be a little more manageable of a book to get through than the book of Genesis. Amen. And am I on this one, Brother Lane? This will be a little bit more manageable to get through. And there's only 13 verses here. And so with the help of God and as he leads, I pray over the next 2 weeks that we can really hone in on this thought of rootedness. And I want you to see this morning, as we go through this, the first thought is going to be rooted in truth. And rooted in truth is where we're going to be today. But I want to read the first three verses, and for the sake of time, we won't necessarily go into all of the scriptures here. If you have your Bible, though, I would encourage you to keep it open. After we read the introduction there, we're not done. Amen. We're not one and done with the Bible. We're going to use the Bible to teach and preach, and hopefully it will guide us this morning to this thought of what it means to be rooted in truth. But for the sake of time, we're just going to read the first three verses there, and I want you to see what John was saying here, but rather God through John. The Bible says this, "The elder unto the elect lady." Now, I know there's some thoughts here as to who that is, and usually when I read a passage, if I'm not sure exactly who's being addressed to or who's being talked to, I will text the pastor or my dad. You know, those are usually good resources. And I was reading through this a while back. I text my dad. I said, "Who's the elect lady?" He said, "I have no idea." I said, "Well, thanks for the help, all right? I'm sure glad that he's there to help me." But the reality is this. There are a lot of people who think that the elect lady is the church. Once again, we'll talk about that. It could be the second recipient. I think the evidence points to a physical person that he's addressing here. And so for the sake of the sermon today, that's who we're going to suggest that she is, a physical person. But also the application can be made the same to the church. "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father." And I want you to say these last four words with me. Ready? Begin. "In truth and..." All right, let's say that again. Ready? Begin. "In..." Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do. I pray that you help us as we really dwell on these two words over the next couple of weeks. And Lord, I pray as our church goes forward and each and every one of us here this morning that we are Christians rooted in truth and love. And Lord, I pray that you help us as we dissect the truth this morning, how we are related to the truth, how we should handle it. Lord, more specifically, what we're supposed to do with it. And Lord, I pray that you be with those that are out. I know some aren't feeling well. I know some are traveling. I pray that you uplift them, heal them, give them strength, keep them safe. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In John 17, as we open this morning, we open with the familiar passage of Scripture. Many of us have heard it. In John 17, once again, Jesus is praying for his disciples. And in John 17:17, he just says these words very simply, "Sanctify them through truth, thy word is truth." How many of you would agree with me this morning that truth matters? All right, we have courts of law that will fight to defend what is true. But sadly, many people will stand before God's word. They still give their oath. They stand before a judge. They stand before a jury. And they will give their version of the truth all the while someone is still lying, right? The truth is important. The lawyers and the attorneys will fight to figure out what is true and what happened and what makes their case, and they'll go through that. I know growing up, telling the truth was a big deal in our home, all right? If there was one thing my dad could not stand, it was when one of his kids lied, all right? And as I'm watching my kids grow, as they're beginning to understand more and more what's right and what's wrong, I'm beginning to get the same way, all right? I want you to tell the truth. I want you to tell me, you know, exactly what happened. I don't want you to tell me what you think is going to get you out of trouble, amen, all right? And all those that are parents, you understand exactly what I'm talking about this morning. And usually the thought is this: when you tell a lie, you have to tell another one just to cover up the first one. And there are people in this life who have built a life upon the precipice of lies, of lying to their spouse, lying to their children. Everything they've done is a lie. And I truly believe they don't know where the truth begins and their lies end. And so if you agree with me this morning, we all agree on this thought: the truth matters. And today we're going to learn about our relationship to the truth. In other words, what I do with the truth. It will affect my relationships in this life and my relationship, most importantly, with eternity. And someone that rejects the truth of Christ in this life will spend an eternity separated from God, separated from Jesus Christ, in a place called hell. That's the truth. I've witnessed many people in this life, and I'll be the first to say I'm not always the best witness, and I need to do better, and I need to work harder at it. But I've witnessed to people, and I've talked with them, and we'll begin to talk about heaven, and we'll begin to talk about hell. And I'll talk about, if you don't accept the gift of salvation, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will die and go to a place called hell. And most people have a basic understanding and knowledge of hell. But I've had some people say some outlandish things in reference to hell. One time I was witnessing to a young teenage girl, and I was just becoming a new youth pastor. I was probably an intern, and we were talking to this young lady. And she said something I'll never forget to this day. She said, "I'm down with a third-degree burn." Now, some people have this idea that they're going to go to hell and they're going to party with their friends and they're going to live it up. Here's the truth this morning: you do not want to go to hell. All right? And no one in their right mind should want to go there either. But when someone rejects Christ and someone rejects salvation, someone rejects God's truth, that's exactly where they are headed. And what we do with the truth has eternal implication. And what we do with the truth has implications here on earth. Once again, for instance, all of us that are here today, we're here for one purpose, amen? It's not to come see Pastor Brandon. It's not to come see your best friend. It's not to come bring your kids to church, although that's a good thing to do, amen? We are here because we are gathered together under one name, that is Jesus Christ. And so I would just simply say it like this: we're here today because we are gathering around the truth. And when we get to the book of 2 John, you're going to notice that word is used quite frequently here in this chapter. One chapter, two words really that we're going to hone in on there: truth and love. But really, more specifically, we're going to deal with truth today. And as John is writing this book, as he's speaking here, he speaks much of the truth. And it was written, once again, by the Apostle John, and he was warning believers in the first century, specifically in Asia Minor, or as we would know, modern-day Turkey. But he was warning them about false teachers who were denying the deity of Jesus Christ. They were teaching that Jesus Christ could never have been God in the flesh. In fact, they taught that God would never take the form of flesh. Now we know what the Bible says, amen. John 1:14, the Bible says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The reality is this, though: there were false teachers that said Jesus Christ was not God, and that God would never take the form of man. John is writing to set the record straight here, and he's writing to proclaim the truth. And indeed, God did take the form of man, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came to this earth, he lived as a man, he was perfect in every aspect of life, and he eventually went to die on the cross, the death that was required for a sacrifice. And I believe that's the truth this morning. I believe that that's what God's Word teaches, and I believe that God's Word is true, And we see that even in this day, people are pushing this false religions and these false ideas. The question you have got to answer this morning as you come to church, because I believe most of us are here for the same purpose. We believe God. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe God's word. We want to learn more. We want to understand more. But if you're here this morning and maybe you're on the edge, you don't know this, that, or the other, the question you've got to leave here today knowing in your heart is this: do you believe God's word is truth? You see, the interesting thing about 2 John is that it was written not primarily to a church once again, and although that was more than likely the second recipient, we're going to look at it primarily here to a Christian woman in Turkey. And I want you to notice in verse number 1 here what John says. He says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also they that have known the truth." John is saying to this lady, he wants to set the record straight. I want to tell you the truth. I want to tell you things concerning the truth. And so this morning, as we speak about being rooted in the truth, we want to have a right relationship to the truth. And I want you to notice with me this morning, there's three areas of our life that are related to the truth in this chapter. I want you to see, first of all, it is our bond. Once again, look there in verse number 1. It's very clear, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth." Here's the deal. I don't think at this point that John had ever met this woman, and yet he says, "I'm looking forward to being with you. I love you." And that is only made possible, why? By the bond we share with Jesus Christ this morning. Here's the truth. I look at many of you, and outside of church, we would probably not be friends. Why? It's because I'm cooler than you. That's why. All right? No, the common thing that we all share here this morning is the bond in Jesus Christ. And I'm always amazed to see how God crosses our paths with others who come along the road and who God brings into our life. And even as I look back over the 20-plus years that we've been here in Greeley, Colorado, just the number of people that have come into the church and left the church, it was never for naught. There was always a reason. And I think of those people and I pray for those people. Many of those people are no longer in church. But John is addressing this lady here. He's basically saying, "I'm looking forward to being with you." Why? Because first of all, it was a loving bond. It was a loving bond that they shared. He's saying, "I want you to know, lady, that the bond that we have and the reason I love you is because of the truth that we believe." And I want you to understand this morning, that's very important, because once again, we are not here primarily to celebrate cultural reasons. All right? We're not here to talk about cultural diversity. We are here to celebrate our unity around the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We seem to have some insight to this lady. And once again, not much is said. We don't even know her name. I come to the conclusion that she was a hospitable woman. All right, that she had people from the church into her home. She loved on them. By the way, church members, that is a good model to keep going, amen, to have other church members in your house, to have other Christians over and fellowship and unite under the name of Jesus Christ. I tend to think that that's the type of woman she was. And he, as in John, said, "I want you to know that the bond that I have with you is that we have a common belief in the doctrine of Jesus Christ." And folks, you have got to get this and got to get to the place in your life where the only thing that matters is the truth being preached. Amen? That's the only thing that matters. Why? Because it is the truth that makes us free today. And more than you need cultural celebration and more than you need this, that, or the other, you need the truth of Jesus Christ in your life. In this day, once again, many people gravitate towards a place that is comfortable for them, that is enjoyable for them. But what I am saying to you is that we are here today and we are not from the same lineage or speak the same original language or cook the same type of foods. It's really great to see how diverse our church is. And the only reason we're here today is this, because we share a common bond in Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the word that he uses there in verse 1, "whom I love." The word love that's used here in verse 1 is that word agape or agapoa. Right? We've heard that before as it's used to illustrate the love that Christ had or that God had for his people. It's a sacrificial love, if you will. It's not talking about phileo type of love, where we kind of get the thought of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, or being fond of something here. Hey, understand this. I love my church family, and I love the people that come through these doors. And there's times where I would do anything to help you out. And I want to tell you something that's true. Earlier this year, my son and I got to go to the Vikings and Broncos game. And while I went there, there were people that shared the same interests as I did. They rooted for the same team as I did. But the truth of the matter is this, as I left that place, we did not have the same bond. And when I come to church, I want you to understand, I enjoy it. Why? Because there are people here that know Jesus Christ. There are people here that preach and teach Jesus Christ. And he is looking at this lady. Hey, I may have never met you before. I'm looking forward to being with you. I'm looking forward to be a part of you. All because of the love I have for you in Jesus Christ. We see that it was a loving bond. I want you to see, secondly, it was a discerning bond. All right, he uses the phrase there in verse number one, whom I love in the truth. He wasn't just saying, I love your cooking, I love your hospitality, I love that you're friendly. Not only are, when we think about husbands and wives here today, I want you to understand this is really the thought. Not only are we husbands and wives, me and my wife are married, but we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We share that bond and we can go forward together. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, this I pray that you love, or that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And here's what God is showing us in this passage and in our everyday life. He's saying, I want your love to be bounded. I want your love to be bound with knowledge and judgment. And we call this discernment today. How many of you ever heard that word before, all right? Maybe parents, you will say that to your kids. Why didn't you use some discernment? Or rather, why didn't you think it over, all right? Why did you do this? Why did you stick a fork into the outlet? Why? You know, we go on and on. We have questions. It's because kids didn't use discernment. Amen, parents? All right. And when God is wanting of us today is to use discernment, and that's why in Philippians he uses this phrase, that you may approve things that are excellent. Then we get back here, and John says to this lady, I want you to approve right doctrine. I want you to reject false doctrine. And listen to me this morning. I want you to understand this. We don't accept everything coming down the freeway in the name of religion, or in other words, we shouldn't accept everything. Amen? There are a lot of religions out there in the world. There are a lot of people who believe they're serving God and believe they're doing what's right, and they are lost and on their way to a devil's hell. Once again, I don't think that only Baptists are going to be in heaven. I believe there are many good Christian people out there. I believe there are many good Christian preachers throughout history that weren't Baptists, and they taught the word and they believed the word. But we live in a day and an age where most people, once again, they are not rooted and grounded in truth, and they are undiscerning Christians, and they are swallowing every hook, line, and sinker that the devil is throwing their way. And I want you to realize with me today that what we need in our bond is the truth, and if it is untrue or against Christ, then we must reject that teaching. The Bible says in 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone. I think about the book of Acts and the day of Pentecost as it's been come to know. We know that many people were hearing the preaching, and the Bible says they gladly heard the word. They received it, and they were baptized the same day and added unto the church. And the Bible tells us that they continued, Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. What was that doctrine? It was exactly what the Lord taught them. It wasn't something new. It wasn't something hip. It wasn't something going against the grain. It was what God told them. It was the salvation that he preached. And that is still the same power that we see people saved today. We've got to be discerning when it comes to our religion, if you will. We've got to be discerning when it comes to what we allow into our homes. And I have a quote. I didn't put it in your notes because it's rather lengthy, but I want you to listen to this. Someone once said, not to care about the truth is not to care about God. To love God passionately is to love the truth passionately. Being God-centered in life means being truth-driven in ministry. What is not true is not of God. What is false is anti-God. Indifference to the truth is indifference to the mind of God. Pretense is rebellion against reality. And what makes reality is God. Our concern with truth is simply an echo of our concern with God. And all that is rooted in God's concern with God or God's passion for the glory of God. You understand this morning, our bond in the truth is a reason once again why today we emphasize the importance of doctrine in the gospel. The strength of our bond this morning is not Faith Bible Baptist Church. Although we think in recent memories when they shut down the church in 2020, many of us missed the fellowship that we had and we missed the church. That's not necessarily our strength this morning, folks. Our strength is Jesus Christ, and he is the cornerstone of our faith. And I want you to notice what verse 2 says here. The Bible says this, "For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever." If you've never had something to be thankful for this morning as a Christian, you're missing out. Because I don't know about you, but I am thankful that God's truth abides in me. Once again, if you are a child of God this morning, God's truth abides in you. And that truth, the Bible tells us here in verse 2, it will never fade. That word dwelleth means to abide with us forever. And in a world that is constantly changing, amen? The world is constantly changing. They're changing the dictionaries. They're changing the way to get to heaven. They're changing this, that, and the other. I'm telling you this morning, God's word is true, and it will never fade, and it has never changed. And we can look to the scriptures with certainty in our life, and we can look to the book of Hebrews and understand this passage. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, people gather for all sorts of reasons. People gather to watch football today. They will come together to cheer on their team. They will come together for this, that, or the other. There are other religions that will gather today. But the reason we gather is not to come here to see Pastor Brandon. It's not to come here to sing songs, although that's a part of our worship. It's to come here to be gathered around the truth. Our relationship, first of all, is that it is our bond. I want you to see, secondly, this morning, it is our responsibility. It is our responsibility. I want you to notice in verse number 4 what the Bible says. The Bible says, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father." The Bible really tells us this. It's one thing to know Jesus, but what does God want us to do with the truth this morning? John says to this lady, "I'm rejoicing that your children are walking in truth." By the way, parents that are here, your number one goal in life ought to be when your children walk after the things of God. Amen? All right? I wasn't really going to go there this morning, but I am sick and tired of seeing parents push their kids in every direction but towards God. John is saying, hey, the greatest joy that you will have in this life, the greatest testimony that you will have in this life, is if your children walk in truth. And John's looking here, he sees this lady, he sees her children, and he's rejoicing with her. And our first responsibility, I would say this morning, as much as it is to see our children walk in truth, is for us as Christians to walk in truth. We want to push our kids. We want to see them do well. It starts by our example, amen? It starts by what we do and our responsibility with the truth. We are not to take this Bible, once again, and preach it on Sunday mornings. And we're not to talk about Jesus today and celebrate Jesus and give him worship and honor and praise. And then as we leave this place, take our Bible and put it up on a bookshelf until next Sunday. God says, I don't want you to celebrate the truth just one day a week. God is showing us here through John, hey, I want you to walk with the truth in your everyday life. Once again, this is a present tense participle. It speaks of an ongoing, active relationship that takes part with the truth. And God desires for us to have a daily, intentional walk with him. How many of you would agree with me this morning? How does that take place? How do we have an intentional walk with him? I want you to notice in your notes, it won't be on the screen, but I have given you three main thoughts. Read your Bible daily. That's a good one, preacher, I know. We have got to read our Bible every day. We've got to talk to God on a daily basis. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 17, 19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and the statutes to them. And what God is saying there in the book of Deuteronomy, he's saying, I want my kings to read the word, to keep the word as a central part of their life. And a man by the name of Robert Chapman said this, the great cause of neglecting the scripture is not want of time, but want of heart, some idol taking the place of Christ. Are you ready for some harsh truth this morning? The reason you do not read your Bible every day is not because we don't have time, it's because we don't have the heart for it. I remember 10, 11 years ago, my wife and I were dating. And we got to the place in our life where we were getting close to being engaged. I knew what I wanted, and I talked with my mom and dad, and we prayed over it. The hard thing was I didn't have a car, and she lived in Fort Collins. I lived here in Greeley. That's just close enough to make me want to see her every week. If it were up to me, I would have seen her every day. But I didn't have the money to pay for gas. I didn't have a car. Mom and dad worked out a deal with me. If I paid for gas, I could go over there and see her once a week. Once again, texting wasn't as prominent as it was back then. I think it was really becoming into the beginning stages. Now I'm starting to sound like an old person up here, all right? I'm still a little old-fashioned, and I would love just spending time with my wife and doing whatever I could to go out of my way and spend time with her, and she would write me little notes. And men, I don't know if your wife or your girlfriend or whatever does these things, but for some reason, my wife would spray her notes with perfume. All right, that was the worst thing she could have done. Why? Because it made me miss her even more. All right, she'd spray them, and I would take them, and I would sniff it, and I would smell that channel number 5 or whatever it is that ladies wear, I'm not sure. And it would make me miss her more and more, and I would want to be with her, and I desired to be with her. That's the same type of relationship that God wants us to have with him, is the desire to be with him day by day. Once again, I couldn't necessarily afford to be with her day by day, and I couldn't necessarily afford to go there. I was saving up for a wedding. We had to get a car at some point, amen. We had to do all of these things, check off these boxes. But God wants us to have time for him in our life, or rather, God wants us to make sure that we have time to love him in this life. And he's basically saying, and what we're seeing here is because you don't love him like you should. And dear friend, I'm going to say this. We have got to get back to the place where we are interested in God in our life. Amen. Psalms 119:11 says this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against me. And so how do we have a walk, or how do we walk in truth? You've got to read your Bible daily. If you don't read it daily, I would say read it weekly. You've got to study the scripture throughout your life. And look, I'm not making excuses. I understand we live in a day and an age where people are on the go, they're on the move. But if you get to bed at night and you lay down and think, I did not have time for God, then you need to reevaluate the things in your life and maybe remove something to make time for God, all right? I'd rather read my Bible than watch TV, if I'm being honest. I'd rather read my Bible than watch the news. I'd rather read my Bible than read the news. I'd rather read my Bible than some of these things that we see, and yet they're so time-consuming for many people. It's not because you don't have time. It's because you don't have the heart for it. All right? The second thought I would say is this. We've got to pray for understanding. I'm going to be transparent with you this morning. There are times that I read through my Bible, and I read super fast. I take pride in that. I'm a fast reader. But here's the problem with fast reading. You don't comprehend any of it. All right? I've read through my Bible, and I've read through passages of Scripture, and I got to the end of my devotions, and I'll have this thought, what in the world did I just read? And usually I'll just comfort myself with this thought, well, I read the Bible. That's a good start, amen? I think what God wants from us, it's not that we read 10 chapters a day, but rather that we understand and comprehend one verse or one word or one thought. And what I would encourage you to do as you walk in God's word and as you walk in truth is to begin by simply praying for understanding. That ought to be the way we approach all problems in life, amen? How many of you, have just being honest, have been to a crossroads where you don't know which way to go, all right? I know I'm not the only one, but there are times where I get here and I have no answers, I have no explanation, and I can do nothing but fall back on God and pray to him. James said it like this: if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and shall be given him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And if you get to a place where you don't understand your Bible reading, where you don't understand God's will for your life, you have got to step back and pray and ask God for understanding. And then thirdly, the most importantly, I would say this: you've got to apply the word. Once again, I love James as a preacher. I love to just kind of envision how he delivered his sermons here. But James chapter number 1, the Bible simply says this: be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Here's the deal. Many people go to church on Sundays. They hear what pastor says, what pastor is preaching from God's word. They hear it. They understand I've got to make some changes in my life. And yet they will go home and make zero changes in their life. James said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. James is saying this: God's word is like a mirror in your life, amen? How many of you used a mirror on your way out this morning, all right? Some of you, it shows that you did not look at a mirror this morning on your way out the door, all right? The reason we have mirrors is to see the imperfections, to fix the things that we fix, that need fixing and things like that. And more specifically, this may be for younger people or teenagers or ladies. I don't know. Some men are just like, I'm married. I don't care how I look. I'm just going to go on with my everyday life. But God's word is like a mirror, and it's showing us the imperfections. And if you walk away doing nothing, the Bible says, you have not changed. And so when we come to this thought of walking in truth, we've got to read our Bible. We've got to pray for understanding. We've got to apply the word. I want you to see letter B here. We've got to be a witness in truth. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Do you mean like passing out invitations, inviting people to church? Not necessarily, although those are good things. I would encourage you to do that. I would encourage you to invite more people. I'd encourage you to invite your coworkers. We're going to have several opportunities this year for you to have outreach moments and outreach opportunities. But I want you to notice verse number 5. Here's what I believe the Bible is showing us and is telling us. The Bible says this, verse number 5, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which he had from the beginning, that we love one another. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here this morning because we're going to finish next week with this thought of love. Here's what I believe the Bible is telling us. One of the best ways that we can be a witness is we should love one another. And if we live out what the Bible is telling us, then we are walking in truth and we are witnessing in truth. How many of you just would be honest and say, I could love better? All right, I see the world. Sometimes they're abrasive, they're rude, and our tendencies are to jump back or snap back. Dear friend, I come home multiple times a week, and I always think these thoughts: I could have loved better here. I could have been nicer to this person. I could have done this, that, or the other. I am a work in progress, but I love what John said in the Gospel of John. He said this in chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Here's what I believe the Bible is telling us. The greatest witness we can have in this life is if we love. The greatest way that we can show God's love is through our walk with him and that he's in our heart. And dear friend, I want to show you the last responsibility we have this morning here is simply this. We have got to warn of errors that exist doctrinally. Me as a preacher, I've got to preach the truth. I've got to preach what God's word says, and I want to warn you of things in this life, and I want you to see, once again, that I don't want you to turn into a tumbleweed Christian and be going this way, that way, or any way the wind blows, doctrinally speaking. The central issue with false teachers is this: what do they believe about Jesus Christ? And I want you to see, according to the scriptures, the prevalence of false teachers. The Bible uses the word here, deceivers. Notice there in verse number 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And the word deceiver just simply means imposter or one that does corrupt. And dear friend, we need to be warned that there are deceivers trying to pull baby Christians away, and there are deceivers trying to get people from never hearing the gospel message in the first place. I think of years ago, I think it was the Olympics in Sydney, and I enjoy the Olympics. It just shows me that I have a lot of work to do in my own physical health. And you ever get convicted watching these guys and hear their story, hours that they train a day, and you're just like, well, I train that many hours maybe in my life completely, all right? Not just in one day, but when we look at it, we get convicted. And I remember, I think it was the South Africans, they were winning a lot of the races. And the reporter came to this young man named Kip and said, Kip, what's the secret? And Kip said, what makes you so fast and what makes you such a good athlete and a good runner? And he talked about the way they trained. And he said, I don't know if there's really any secret, but I would say it like this. It has to be the road signs. And the reporter kind of shook her head and was just like, road signs? What do you mean? He said, well, in South Africa, when we go out for a run, we see a lot of signs. And he said, one sign that always makes me run faster is a sign that says, beware of lions, all right? Now, I don't know about you, how many of you would run faster if you saw that sign, all right? I don't know about you, but I know that adrenaline would kick in and I would be moving forward. And I'm going to say it like this. Every Christian needs to be aware of lions, falsely speaking. In the first century, they didn't mince words about it, all right? John here says this is a deceiver and an antichrist. Once again, we live in a day where many people do the same. They are deceitful. They are promoting antichrist. And anyone who rejects Jesus in this life, once again, is not on their way to heaven. Look, you can have your multicultural religion, but my Bible says broad is the way of destruction and narrow is the way of salvation. In other words, Jesus Christ is not that popular in this life. There are a lot of religions, there are a lot of methods, there are a lot of people who say there are many ways to get to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I want you to understand, there are people that are trying to rewrite Scripture and rewrite the Bible. And we touched on that a little bit this morning in our growth point. And I want you to understand, it is not our job to rewrite or paraphrase God's truth, but it is our job to believe what God's Word says, and it's our job to believe what God says about His Word. And the Bible says, Jesus is the Son of God. Some may say, I had a Jehovah's Witness maybe come by and tell me that Jesus' existence began in Bethlehem, and He is less than God. But I understand John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Some may say there are over a million Muslims, and they believe Muhammad, and he taught that God had no sons. And I say to you again, there are many antichrists in the world, and if you want salvation, you need to recognize there is no one that can go to heaven unless they put their faith and trust in Jesus. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing it, we preach about it, but there are religions today, there are teachers today that are telling you you can get to heaven by your good deeds, you can get to heaven by your charity, you can get to heaven by this, that, or the other. And the Bible says this, we have a responsibility to the truth. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. The bottom line is this. Anything that goes against Christ is false. Notice verse number 8 in our passage here. John said this, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we shall receive a full reward. The Bible also talks about a judgment seat of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, friend, but being saved, it's not a mistake that I've made. I'm happy for my salvation. I believe most people that are saved truly would say the same thing. I understand there's things I've got to work on in this life, and I understand that I will never lose that salvation. But you understand that Satan is going to do all that he can in this life to make sure that you as a Christian have zero rewards in heaven one day. His first goal is to make sure you never get saved in the first place, that you never hear the gospel message, that you never have the opportunity. But when we think about the judgment seat, the Bible says that we will all stand before Christ one day and give an account. We will all be responsible for what we did with the truth. We won't be able to pass the buck. I always love watching my kids because I'll ask them what happened, and very quickly they'll defer to the other. Well, it was Aiden. Well, it was Rosie. Well, it was Branson. It was Huntley. And the list goes on and on and on. And this is nothing new. We go all the way back to Genesis, and that's exactly what happened with Adam. They partook of the tree that God told them not to, and God came to Adam. What happened? And in that moment, Adam could have stood up and said, I did wrong. I made a mistake. And yet he said, the woman that thou gave me. But one day you're going to stand before God, and there is going to be no one there for you to blame. We have got to take responsibility in this life, and the responsibility is to walk in truth, it's to witness in truth, and it is to warn of the errors. And lastly, I want you to see, as we close this morning, it is our reward. It is our reward. Look, friend, once again, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I pray that you leave here different than you came in. I pray that you leave here with a true God of heaven. There are many false gods, and there are many antichrists in the world, and they are promoting this, and there's a lot of this tolerance being preached, and there's a lot of this, we'll have peace if we can just unite. We've talked about that bumper sticker, coexist. Dear friend, none of that means anything. Why? Because it all comes down to your relationship with the truth. And the truth is this: if you deny Jesus Christ in this life, you will spend an eternity separated from him in the afterlife. And so more specifically, this last point really only falls to Christians. Our reward, what is our reward this morning? I want you to see, it is an eternal relationship. If you are truly saved, you will get to experience the blessings and benefits of heaven one day. Amen? Verse number 9, the Bible says this: whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have the assurance of an eternal relationship with the Father through the Son. Jesus is the mediator. The Baptist Church is not the mediator. Amen? Look, I've told my men this as we've gone through our Bible studies. If you want to call me at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, go ahead. I sleep so hard I may not hear it, amen? If you have an epiphany one night, I'm struggling with sin, I need to get it right, you're welcome to call me. But all I'm going to tell you is this: confess it to God. Get it right with God. You've got issues in your marriage, confess it to God. Marriage counseling is great. Marriage counseling can help. The couples retreat is wonderful, and we look forward to that time every year. But get it right with God. The Bible says in 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So for Christians that are here this morning, our reward first and foremost is an eternal relationship. But I want you to see, secondly, it's an earthly relationship. Once again, we talk about the benefits of coming to church and being around other believers. And the blessing of fellowship is for us who are believers. Once again, I enjoy going to football games, and I enjoy them less because most of the time people are drunk and they're falling over, and it's just like, I will never experience that in this church. Hopefully not, amen? But when I come to this place, I see people that I love. I see people that we share a common bond. And it is our reward to have an earthly relationship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what John would lead us to believe there. And the blessing of fellowship, once again, is for believers. And don't let someone into your home today who is going to deny Jesus Christ in your midst, who is going to tear down Jesus Christ in your midst. You may say, I want to have people over from my work. I want to try to witness to them. And that's all good and that's all fine. But don't bring someone into your home who's going to try to persuade you away from Jesus Christ. Don't bring someone who's going to tear down the truth of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, receive them not. I want you to notice this last verse with me. Verse 12, the Bible says this, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Once again, Christians, it's great to have other Christians in your home. It's great to have other brothers and sisters and encourage and come together and fellowship, and we promote fellowship here, and there's no better way to fellowship than over food, amen? We want to come together, and we want to do what's right. And I'm excited to come and see you because that's what makes me happy, is being with God's people. That's exactly what John's saying here. I'm ready to come see you, lady. I'm ready to be in your midst. I believe you're hospitable. You're going to cook. You're going to do this, that, or the other. I'm excited for all those things, but I'm excited because being around God's people is what truly makes me happy. And John says to her, I want to come and see you that our joy may be full. Now, don't answer this in your heart. How many of you are excited to see other believers in church on Sunday mornings? Maybe on Thursdays when we have Bible studies, other Bible studies throughout the week. Maybe it's different activities. How many of you would say you're excited? Now, how many of you would say, I want to know, give me a test. How do I know that I'm doing good as a Christian? I'm so glad you asked. I prepared a test for you this week. Here is the test. When you're doing good as a Christian is when you're looking forward to getting to church. You see, I know the devil is going to fight you from coming. Once again, if you're saved, there's nothing he can do about your eternal security. But he wants to make sure that you spend zero time under the truth of God's word. He wants to make sure that you don't see other brothers and sisters who believe the same thing. He wants to make sure that your life is destroyed. And if you're looking forward to watching the football game more than going to church, that something's not right. If you're looking forward to spending time with family on a Sunday rather than go to church, then something's not right. Dear friend, God designed the family to worship together. And when people say Sunday's my family day, I can respect that. But if you're skipping church to spend time with your family, something is not right. Once again, football's great, family's great, but being with other believers is what should give us joy in our hearts this morning. The reward that we have this morning is, yes, we have eternity. And how many of you are you looking forward to heaven one day? Oh boy, I am so looking forward to that. This earth gets more and more wicked every year. Many of us didn't think we would see the year 2024. Some of you may be praying, even so, come quickly, Lord. I know that's my prayer. And we have the reward of eternity that can never be taken away from us, but also that we get to be with other believers in this life. Or in other words, we don't have to go through this life alone, amen. That we have Jesus Christ, we have our relationship with God, the truth abides in us, and we have other brothers and sisters. There are people that walk these streets every day who are lonely, they are lost, and they are on their way to a devil's hell. And if you're saved this morning, you ought to thank God. I don't have to deal with any of those. As we close out this year, and as we close and retire our theme for the year 2023, let's remember what it means to be rooted in truth. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.
Once again, thank you for listening. If you have any other questions or would like to contact a member of our staff, feel free to call us at 970-353-7635.